The Hale Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Back with you, it's Hour 2, Weekend Edition at Hale Varsity Radio, presented by Currency. For all your equipment financing needs, go Currency. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Elijah Herbel, Brandon Vogel is hanging out as we get going in this second hour. And can send emails, chris@halevarsity.com, reminding you to get that subscription now to Hale Varsity Magazine and .com, halevarsity.com/offer. Is how you do that. I got both pups roaming around. I think the Labradoodles had 7 gallons of water. I don't know if there's more or less Husker hype, if we're going to put it into gallon measurements with the Dylan Raiola setup. But, man, it's been an interesting 24 hours. We bring in Brandon Vogel. Vogues, how we doing? Good to see you this Saturday morning.
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're good, man. Good and excited for a weekend of NFL action and also how things continue to shake out here right before signing day, the final signing day for next week. And wanted to start off with Dylan Raiola and Nebraska sending 9 of the 10 down to sunny, warm, or warmer, Arizona. Your thought on the continual impression Nebraska's making?
Yeah, you can't say they're not putting in the work. They definitely have displayed the importance to Dylan in their mind, and this latest kind of onslaught, I guess, for lack of a better term, only backed that up. And you know, you look at this. I look at this. Nebraska's got to be in a pretty good spot. Who knows who the actual leader is? But you kind of got. He's been to Nebraska multiple times. You've obviously got the deep and intense family connection to the university. And you know, at the start of a new coaching regime, landing the number one quarterback in the country would certainly be. You'd get a lot of positive buzz just based on that. You know, players still got to come in and produce, but if Nebraska were able to land him, boy, would that be kind of a real shot in the arm, I think, for just Nebraska football, the brand.
Let's compare it historically too, Brandon, where in the past, now Tommy Frazier wasn't necessarily the number one quarterback in the country before the option he was. There's no question about that. You fast forward 5 or so years, same with Crouch, right? Like, maybe not the best quarterback in the country, but the best option quarterback. Since then, would you say Nebraska – I don't think Nebraska has landed some sort of, like, consensus, surefire, incredibly talented quarterback that everybody was after. I think Nebraska's just kind of gotten some dudes. A few of them have panned out in different ways. Right, or am I missing somebody? I'm just trying to think back. Last 20-some years, has Nebraska been in the sweepstakes for basically a can't-miss guy like that?
No, not at that level of quarterback that I can recall. I mean, honestly, in terms of kind of buzz, is Tanner Lee as close as you get?
I was going to say
– I mean, serious.
How about a guy that never ended up on campus in Bubba Starling?
Bubba Starling. I mean, maybe. I think the real answer of somebody who was very, very close to Nebraska is Lamar Jackson. And you know, if you talk to Tim Beck, you know, he'll still say they thought they had him, and it kind of fell apart there at the last second. And goes to Louisville, has a great career there. Of course, that's probably as close as they come. But I'd have to go back and look at what Lamar Jackson was as a high school prospect. He was obviously highly rated, but was he, you know, Raiola Manning level, which we've seen in these past two classes? Probably not. Yeah. Matthew on the stream. Thank you, Matthew. Harrison Beck.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And he was up there. I don't think he was a 5-star guy, though, right? I don't think he was like. We have to go back and look at it.
He was right there. They took him
was highly touted.
They took him over Mark Sanchez. That's the
he, uh, he, He was highly touted.
Urban rumor.
But I guess my point in bringing that up is, like, is that really what's been missing, right? Like, do you need to land that dude at quarterback, which then will attract the incredible offensive linemen, the incredible running backs, the incredible – it's that halo effect that you get from landing that dude.
It could be. I have a hard time saying it's missing because it's been missing. I've been somebody through our dual Martinez eras, and we were all well aware of kind of the limitations and the mistakes that came with Taylor and Adrian at times. But when I look at those quarterbacks were obviously talented. And I thought they played at a level probably higher than Nebraska achieved as a team. So when I look at that, you know, it's kind of like, oh, well, where's the breakdown? Like, yeah, you don't want to fumble that much. And the turnovers hurt, but those things are kind of tough. So, you know, somebody like Raiola, just with his kind of standing in this 2024 class and his prestige and his links to Nebraska, I do think you get an effect in Nebraska recruiting overall that kind of says, okay, something's going on here that's different than where Nebraska has been, because we're going to look at this 2023 class, they're going to end up right where Nebraska has traditionally been in kind of team rankings, and that's an achievement in my mind.
Brandon, if nine people roll up to your house trying to sell you on something, your reaction would be what?
go away. I'm uncomfortable when I get the one out of nowhere visitor. You know, the door-to-door salesman days are largely over, but I'd say 1, 2, 3 times a year, because I'm pretty much home all the time. You get somebody, you hear a doorbell ring at noon, it's like, what is this? I wasn't expecting a package, and it's somebody on your front step ceiling. Hey, have you ever thought about gutter guards? Be like, yeah, I thought about it a lot. Haven't made the purchase yet, so have a nice day.
See, that doorbell rings. That doorbell rings, and you hope it's like Girl Scouts with cookies, and then it's always gutter guard people or like some product you don't need, and you go, damn, I wish it was cookies. Every time.
You hope it's someone selling cookies. I hope it's a nurse from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but I guess we just think different.
But I'll be right back Googling.
Bogues, you did a great story and feature in the latest Hail Varsity magazine issue. We have it here for folks to see on the stream, get the subscription. But you touch on Satterfield, and there we go. Thank you. That's
the, she looks kind of crazy, man. I don't know about that.
Crazy is okay sometimes. I'm interested in Satterfield and his offense. And then, all right, let's apply that here as we continue to talk Dylan Raiola. Currently, you have a room full of quarterbacks here and now. Future is Raiola. But let's talk about that application for the room now, and then for maybe Raiola here with Satterfield.
Yeah, kind of looking at that story in the magazine, you mentioned where these both coordinators, offense and defense, have been during their previous coordinator stints, compared it a little bit to Nebraska. I mean, I think the big thing for me with Satterfield is he came out right out of the gates, first time we got a chance to talk to him, talking about we want to run the football. Music to a lot of Nebraska fans' ears, but you'll look at his stints at Temple and then at South Carolina. They weren't that run heavy. And I try not to get too caught up in like, oh, they were only like 45% instead of 55%. Like, everyone's going to kind of fall between those ranges for the most part, unless you're a service academy or Minnesota of late. It's for me, it's more about running the football effectively, being able to run it when you need to and want to. And if you do that well enough, well, you might end up with more pass attempts. You know, I saw something, I can't remember from where, it was from one of the stats people on Twitter, noted that last year, I think South Carolina was top 10 in terms of percentage of passes thrown at or behind the line of scrimmage, which is interesting when you consider, you know, Spencer Rattler has always had kind of all the arm talent in the world. So that was, you know, a little bit more something you associate. I associate, I think most people right now associate more with the spread, but think back to kind of the Callahan years, Marlon Lucky catching 75 balls in a season. It can be a part of the pro style offense too. Nebraska's in a good spot in that, you know, Casey Thompson's coming off of surgery, but super experienced quarterback. You also got Jeff Sims in the mix now, who's played a ton of football. So I think they're good there. The thing that Nebraska and South Carolina's offense in 2022 shared was they were both kind of explosiveness over efficiency, which, if you know, you, the world is your oyster and you can choose one, I think you choose efficiency. But I think Satterfield, with what South Carolina did last season, comes to a Nebraska offense that has some of those same capabilities in terms of big plays.
Trev Alberts this week on his radio show alluded to it. I didn't read into it too much or listen to it myself, but just, you know, haven't seen the quotes. Mentioned the spring game and just saying it's going to be football. Are we to read into that it's not going to be modified scoring system, green jerseys all over the place, tagging off on running backs, weird punting competitions, and like, is it just going to be a football game with two teams playing, I don't know, football?
I certainly hope so. That was my first reaction, and even beyond, you know, we're not giving the defense points for stops. Not that those things aren't important, but nobody can keep up with it. You need a menu of how this thing is actually scored. I hope it means that, you know, instead of going through the dance of, we don't want to put too much on film in this spring game, it's on the Big Ten Network, you know, people are watching. Let's get rid of the paranoia. Let's just go out there and like use that as an actual practice, instead of forfeiting one of your 15 spring practices. Use it. I mean, particularly at the start of a new regime, I think Nebraska could use that time to go out and run things. And whether we see like a sliver of what Nebraska wants to be in 2023, or we see a bigger slice, like, we're all going to make too much of it and talk about it for the next 2 months anyway. So go out there and do something that feels good for the fans, but also helps you accomplish something, I think, from a simple practice perspective.
They ran outside zone. Frank, get out your notepad. Like, we got Nebraska scouted now. Like, come on. Oh, they did four wide receivers. You know, I mean, come on. What are they trying to hide?
Yeah. Brandon, while we're talking spring game here, can you give me a couple of names you're interested in seeing in that game? And I know it's way too early here. We haven't even gotten reports out of spring practice of who's looking good and who might be getting significant play time. But can you give me a name or two that is intriguing to you and you want to see on the field for Nebraska this spring?
And a prediction, who wins, red or white.
Yeah, definitely. I'm thinking, I'm interested to see Jeff Sims. And he's going to be a big part, I think, of the discussion around Nebraska football. Got the chance to watch him a bit at Georgia Tech, and obviously came in as a really highly touted recruit. Interested there. I'm interested in Ben Scott, the transfer, who probably, I mean, at this point we would assume is in the mix at center, or maybe he ends up someplace else. I'm kind of interested also to see, well, two receivers that were on the team but now they're back in Garcia Castaneda and Betts. I think it'll be interesting too. Like Garcia Castaneda, you maybe expect to hit the ground running a little bit more, or at least I do. Betts, it'll just be like you are away for the game for nearly a year. Let's see how that pans out. So a lot of intrigue on offense for me. I'm probably leaving off a couple of defense guys that I'll regret later. But Nebraska, you know, has got a lot of known quantities on that side of the ball.
Brendan Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine managing editor, author with John Cook, Dream Like a Champion, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, what do you make of what Rule's done the last couple of days? And that's pretty heavy in Missouri and also the Kansas City region. And it's not just the 500-mile radius, but these are really, if we're going to look at the stars next to the names, they're 4- and 5-star guys. I mean, we're talking top 6, top 3, top 8 at their respective positions, on top of a couple of offensive tackles, defensive linemen, wide receivers. And to your knowledge, what did Rule go after? Did he go after stars or fit? And to me, he he's always prioritized fit, but just because that fit has now four or five stars next to it, he isn't shying away. I mean, he may be a little late or later to the party, but he's still showing up with kids in this region. And that's kind of music to my ears, Nebraska getting back into Missouri.
Yeah, I think fit will kind of forever be where they start with things. That said, you know, you come in, you take a new job. All right, we got to figure out quickly, like, who's staying from the currently committed 2023 class? Who else do we need to go get? Who can we get in with and have a shot at signing eventually? You do that, you also got to kind of like start looking towards 2024. It's a lot all at once. So I think with some of the guys that we've seen offered and where they're from, you know, it's good in my mind because it indicates that Kansas City and St. Louis and really the state of Missouri as a whole, this staff, Rule himself, you know, whoever it is, probably a collective effort, is aware of the importance of that region. And, you know, you look through Nebraska's history at some of the great players that have come from the state of Missouri, you gotta get in there. And Nebraska had some success in Kansas City, you know, fairly recently. It struggled to kind of crack St. Louis over the past 5, 6, 7 recruiting cycles, I think. Got to get in there. So overall, when I look at this recruiting plan, you know, Ed Foley is out there, who's been to like 300 some schools in Nebraska, it seems. Matt Rule has, well, they got to Arizona, has set up his like Texas Nebraska outpost, which is also super fascinating. And now they're getting to kind of the 500-mile radius plus a little bit when you look at Missouri and just some of those more regional recruits. So I think it's been a pretty solid approach to knowing what you can get at Nebraska and knowing what you've been able to get in the past.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio as we talk Nebraska football. And by the way, shout out on the tour. They made it to Stella's. Shout out Bellevue. Shout out best burger in Nebraska. I know that's controversial, but I'm going to go with that. Shout out Francois' family. So what do you make of, and you'd alluded to it earlier about Xavier Betts, Isaiah Garcia Castaneda, just the wide receiver room as a whole. We talked about it last weekend as just being like, I think it skews towards probable given the guys that you have added to Marcus Washington and Alante Brown, who I view as sort of your stabilizers. You know what you're going to get with those guys. You could probably get more from both of them. But you're adding five pretty high profile. Either they've been super productive already, or they are like top 100 with Malachi Coleman, Xavier Betts. I think it skews towards probable that you're going to get production out of that room, right? Like I just can't imagine that the wide receiver room is going to be some sort of, I don't know, detriment to the team.
No, I don't view it as a detriment at this point. You know, receiver is one of those positions where you can make an impact early. Experience helps, continuity between your quarterback and your receiving core helps. Nebraska doesn't totally check that box. When I look at that group, I see a lot of potential. I think what the question I can't answer right now is kind of like, who's your top line guy? Who's the guy when it's 3rd and 9 and you're like, okay, we're going to try and go there. You know, based on their usage last year, I guess Marcus Washington kind of holds that title until we actually get into practice and stuff like that and see what happens in the off season. That's kind of the piece there where I'm like, okay, who's going to fill that role? And I think that makes it intriguing for some of those younger prospects who are coming in. You know, like a Malachi Coleman, you know, that he doesn't have to, I think, be that kind of player, but there's potential there, for just that receiver who you can count on to win one-on-one more often than not. That's kind of the one missing piece, but I think they've got a lot of options to, somebody can develop into that role and they've got a lot of options to choose from.
Brandon, in an ideal world, do you think that Matt Rule wants to be starting freshman on this team next season in order to get them some experience and, you know, set up the future? Do you think in an ideal world he wants to let those guys sit and develop and get ready? Because there's two sides to that coin. One is that, yeah, whenever you put freshmen in, they're going to make freshman mistakes. But on the other hand, getting them some experience is going to help you 2-3 years down the road.
Yeah, I don't think he has to do that. You know, with a coaching change, I think you'll always have if you're a freshman coming in with a new coaching staff, you always have a couple of better percentage points of seeing the field right away. Just by nature of coaches look at this, that's a guy I'm going to have for multiple years. You know, Matt Rhule on the Bustle with the Boys podcast said that's what they chose to do essentially at Temple. Like they kind of ripped the Band-Aid off, played a ton of freshmen right away, went 2-10, I think. And it was rough, but it paid off down the line. I don't think you have to go that route at Nebraska, though I do expect there's a better chance for some of those young players, those newcomers, even young transfers who are a little bit earlier in their career, but to make an impact that maybe is a little bit harder 2-3 years down the road.
Brandon Vogel with us. Vogues, what's on the radar for you and Hail Varsity this weekend?
Yeah, have basketball coverage on the website, of course, this weekend. We'll see what pops up recruiting wise. There's always seems to be something new going on there, and busy preparing our February issue. We'll hit on women's basketball a little bit more there. Got the start of softball and baseball, so that's been good. Softball team plays pretty soon, actually. So looking forward to getting those things started. And other long-term projects in terms of football and breaking down this new era as it continues to unfold.
And Vogues, before we get you out of here, I need your Sunday NFL predictions. Niners, Eagles, Chiefs, Bengals. Who you got going to the Super Bowl?
I'll go Chiefs, Niners, because I can't.
Ooh, a rematch.
I don't have anything against the state of Philadelphia, but all my in-laws are Eagles fans, and I want them to be sad.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. Man. He wasn't very. Uniforms. I think that's it.
He wasn't very convincing with the old
Stone Cold Classic in the 49ers uniforms. And Eagles has just never worked for me.
Fair enough.
I don't like Philly fans, except for Pastor Shike, of course. But I mean, that's my biggest problem, is Philly fan, right? I mean.
Yeah, I guess we better be careful if we're all anti-Eagles. We might anger Matt Rhule.
And as a uniform guy, what is up with that Eagles green, blue? What, it's terrible. Absolutely it is terrible. Color.
Give me the black. Give me the black.
Yeah. Well, which looks terrible with that dark greenish blue. It's that they have the worst uniforms in the NFL.
Yep. More fashion NFL next weekend. Yeah. Vogues, take care, bud. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks, guys.
There he is, Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity. Quick timeout. We'll hit the home stretch here, the weekend edition with Hail Varsity presented by Currency. The Iron Horse on the way. Gary Sharp up next.